What will the Holy Spirit be doing in the last days? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas. This is Probe. Welcome. We are concluding today a series of 13 lessons or discussions on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Along the way, we have looked at a lot of things, who this Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, the interaction of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works to regenerate and restore life. We looked last week at the question of sinning against the Holy Spirit, but today we conclude with a rather grand subject in many ways. The Bible views time as linear, that it has a point of beginning and it moves to a point of destiny, and the Holy Spirit appears all along the way. But there are some indications in the Scriptures that as we come to the end days, the last days, that the Holy Spirit is going to be perhaps more active than in times past. I'm very happy to have once again my two conversation partners, Dr. Bruce Johansson, New Testament scholar, and Dr. Carl Kosart, a New Testament scholar. And gentlemen, we're up against a couple of passages of Scripture in particular. I think Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, mm-hmm. and then Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 24, and we might even bridge over into Revelation 18. What do you make about the Holy Spirit in the last days?
These are powerful passages. I mean, these are passages that are well known, the Spirit being poured out and kind of the excitement of looking forward to maybe being part of that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important maybe that we actually read part of that in Joel, if I can, Joel chapter 2. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So here we have the activity of the Spirit being poured out.
On all flesh, and kind of in very spectacular fashion. Mm-hmm. You have old men, young women.
No one's excluded.
No.
Slaves, too.
Slaves, yeah.
Both men and women.
Men and women. Prophesying.
I like this about the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It breaks down all these status divisions, gender.
He doesn't respect our divisions, huh?
No. And that is part of the kingdom to come.
So what do you think Joel was talking about here?
I think this is connected to the last days, and this is the day of the Lord. This is kind of a preparation, I think. Here you have this context in the Old Testament of this battle between the issues with God's people. There's faithfulness on the part of some. There's not faithfulness on the part of others. Mm-hmm. And so there's this call to this almost a revival among the God's people, mm-hmm. who take Him seriously and follow Him. And I think this is what we see here, this promise in the book of Joel, mm-hmm. which we see it continues on in the New Testament, the book of Acts.
Mm. Great power for great time.
Great power for great time. Mm-hmm. So Joel, from his point, was looking beyond his time,
yes.
to a time when the troubles of earth would give way to the establishment of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Is that what you would agree with that?
And yet, what does the last days mean in Peter's version?
Well, I don't know. We haven't come to that yet. But, Joel doesn't use that phrase.
No, he
says
doesn't.
Afterwards.
Joel,
right?
says, come to pass afterwards. So it's kind of open-ended afterward. Yeah. What's afterward?
Yeah.
Yeah, and after what? I would like to know that, Joel. Now, this, but anyway, this passage of Scripture is one of the primary ones that establishes in the minds of all believers the idea that prior to the establishment of the kingdom of God in grand fashion, the Holy Spirit is going to be particularly active. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think so. We probably should mention this text too in Joel chapter 2. This is verse 31, but it talks about the sun being turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So this is that, I guess you could say, end time outpouring of the Spirit before the final day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we see here really then is that this activity of the Holy Spirit is in a sense redemptive. Mm-hmm. That God, before the great and final day when all accounts are settled, if I can put it that way, the Holy Spirit will be particularly active to try and make sure that people understand the issues and have the opportunity to make good choices.
Yes.
Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2. What happens in Acts chapter 2?
Well, we get the same thing almost, word for word.
So Peter here on his great Pentecost sermon borrows from Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quotes.
Does a little bit of changing.
Yeah. Now, he does some changing, doesn't he? What does he change?
Verse 17, the last days. He applies this.
Yeah, and it's come to pass in the last
days. And in a sense, that's okay because it's talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord, which he thinks is around the corner.
Yeah. So in other words, Peter here on the day of Pentecost, knowing what Joel predicted and seeing the Holy Spirit come on the disciples, interprets this as the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, and now the last days are upon us. That's you would agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, I think in Peter's behalf, right?
Yeah.
Is that one of the signs of the last day, according to Jews, was the resurrection?
Yeah. Mm.
And here in Jesus, we have the resurrection. This is the beginning of the end. The last days have begun.
Yeah. And of course, that raises for people 2,000 years later.
That does what?
A little bit of a question.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that if one goes back to the New Testament, the tension between the already and the
now and
not
yet
is still in play.
Yeah.
It's still in play.
So Peter boldly announces the initiation of the last days. Mm-hmm. Was he right?
I think he was.
Sure.
I mean, we talked already about Acts chapter 2 and what happens there with the gift of tongues and so forth. This was the inauguration of the church, and truly the Spirit was poured out. I mean, this is a phenomenal event.
When Jesus started his preaching, his words were simple. The kingdom of God
is at hand.
Has arrived, you can even translate.
And maybe it's better to say here we have an application, maybe a partial fulfillment. Truly it's not the fullest, complete fulfillment. Because we still await that great and terrible day of the Lord.
And see, that's my very next question, is that can we say then that in Acts chapter 2, Joel 2, Joel's prophecy was fulfilled, or does it remain unfulfilled?
It's fulfilled for me.
So do you think there will be anything in the future?
I think so.
So how can we say it's fulfilled then?
Well, we go back again. How can we say that Jesus is 100% God and 100% divine? I mean, human. Yeah. Is this the impossible? But I think there is a fulfillment here in Acts chapter 2.
And that's why I go back to Jesus preaching his inauguration. Oh. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God has arrived.
But is not yet.
And if you go through the whole New Testament, it's already here, and yet it's not here.
So in other words, we have here, in a sense, a foretaste of the ultimate kingdom. That is spilling over into present time.
That's right.
But we still anticipate there's coming a day when present time will end and we will enter.
I like the great World War II analogy. Normandy Beach was D-Day.
Yes.
V-Day was still to come.
Mm-hmm. And there was still a lot of fighting that went on.
There was still a lot of fighting to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in other words, we have, wow. So does this prophecy get fulfilled several times? How do we deal with this?
You know, why not? There are prophecies that repeat and are fulfilled more than once. Sometimes in a concrete sense, and then in a deeper sense.
You know, there's an old word that doesn't get used anymore: harbinger. And a harbinger is a sign or an indication of what is yet to come, but it's never as great as what is coming.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And as I was thinking about this lesson, I thought of the word harbinger, that what we actually have in Acts chapter 2 is a harbinger of what is going to come.
Yes.
Do you think it's right? I mean, is it not right to anticipate that before the actual coming of Jesus, that there's going to be an additional manifestation of Joel's prediction?
Sure. Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we get the same concept in the Old Testament, too, with the offering of the first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the now, but the not yet.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. So.
Even the Spirit is spoken of as a guarantee, a down payment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not the final payment yet.
Not the final one yet.
Yeah. So as we look forward to the coming of Jesus, what kind of picture emerges from your mind as you think of Joel 2 and Acts chapter 2?
Well, it excites me because it's not a static, it's a dynamic, there's a relationship, there's a vibrantness, you know, it's this very very rich, and I long for that day.
Mm. Mm. You know, I'm going to try something out on you. It's not explicit, but there's an interpretation of 2 Thessalonians where Christians think that the end has already come. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, no, there are certain things that have to happen first.
Yeah.
And he says, there's a restrainer that's restraining the manifestation of the man of sin.
Mm. Yes.
And it's first referred to in the neuter, mm-hmm. in the Greek, and then in the masculine.
The masculine.
Which could indicate the Holy Spirit, because pneuma is neuter.
Mm.
So this Holy Spirit is not only there as a proactive power, I think, in the preaching of and the spread of the gospel, but it's also, it has been there as a preservative.
A restraint against evil,
which just before the end will have to be withdrawn.
Wow.
That's a possibility.
So in other words, this thing goes both ways.
Yeah.
And I think this also connects very powerfully with, you know, the book of Revelation, too. You get this, the three angels' message, loud cry.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of parallel, I mean, it's like bookends, right? It's Pentecost starts it, and the power of the Spirit, and I think the power of the Spirit is going to finish it at the end as well.
Scripture is full of this. What happens at the beginning also comes at the end.
Yeah.
As it was in the days of Noah, socially.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of arguments for
and that is, I'm glad you brought that out, Carl, that when you get into Revelation, you see this crescendo that sometimes referred to as the loud cry that actually finally ends up in the... And this has had a big play in the Adventist community.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So that it's a struggle, though, to live with the now but not yet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, do we ever get rid of that tension until the end?
Not until the end, I don't think. The already and the not yet.
Yeah, already in the not yet.
This raises the same question we dealt with earlier, you know. Can we do anything to hasten that day?
Yes.
Is there any part that we play to this? And I've seen many people who want to play a part. They want to, if we could just pray more, if we could just read the Bible more, if we could somehow make it happen.
Yeah.
I think
there's
a danger there.
I think so, too. And you think we need to let God be God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He will decide when it's time. And that will be it.
Yeah, and he probably won't be consulting with too many human beings on that.
One of the closing words in the book of Revelation, I just love it. The Spirit and the Bride say come.
Yeah. So, wow. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate this. You know, we've talked over many subjects, 13 lessons together, and I'm grateful for your insights and for your involvement. I think our lesson today leaves open a rather interesting and challenging and exciting future. Mm-hmm. The idea that the work of the Spirit, which is oftentimes done in a lot of quietude, is going to burst out.
Yes.
And it seems from these prophecies that there will be no human beings who are unaware of the impending conclusion to existence.
Yeah, so. And it is all-inclusive of those all-inclusive. Who will be gifted.
My thanks to Miranda Berg, our program engineer, and to you, Bruce and Carl, and to the rest of you for listening. For Probe, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.